Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
You are about to be changed. Amen. There is a better version of you. Did you know that? Has your iPhone ever told you that it's time? Samsung people, don't worry about it. But iPhone users, has your phone ever told you that it's time for an upgrade? Oh, I can't hear you. Has your phone ever told you that, like, your grade is too low, so you need an upgrade? Amen. Today you are going to be upgraded. Your life is about to be upgraded. Your calling is about to be upgraded. The work you are doing is about to be upgraded. Your finances are about to be upgraded. Your intelligence is about to be upgraded. Even your health is about to be upgraded. And then your neighbor that's standing next to you is about to be upgraded. Are you ready for an upgrade? Yes. God is bringing it to you through His word and through His prophet. Do you believe in the anointing? I can't hear you. I don't feel that I'm in the First Love Church. Do you believe in an unseen power that is changing lives? I can't hear your yes from your soul. Do you believe in the anointing? Do you expect a miracle? Do you expect a miracle? Do you expect a breakthrough? Do you expect something to change? Then let's sing it with faith. I expect a miracle today. Are you ready, First Love Church? Lift your hands. Lift your hands and let's sing it together. Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible to those who believe and say.
Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We ask you to guide us, lead us by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now, today I'm going to share with you something that has many implications and blessings, especially one particular blessing that is going to come at the very end. I'm going to be preaching for just a short while, so I need you to listen very carefully. Amen. I want to welcome those online. You are now part of us. I can see over 1,000 people are with us online. That is a great blessing. Today, I'm going to share with you on the blessing and importance of sacrifice. Sacrifice. Now, many of us in Christ are happy to come to Jesus, but what we don't realize is that what is your joy has been somebody's sacrifice. The wedding that you are having is made possible by Jesus Christ's suffering. The happiness, the prosperity that you are having or that you are going to have is possible because Jesus said, or the Bible says, that he became poor so that we might become rich. So Christianity and your Christian life is going to be a product of somebody's sacrifice that is going to lead to your joy. Amen. Amen. So then there comes a time in every mature Christian's experience where you are now going to be the person who's going to make a sacrifice. All right? Now, in John chapter 12, I want us to see a very important encounter that Jesus had with some visitors. And remember that this is a very short message for today, and it's going to be a blessing to you. Philip cometh. There came certain Greeks, verse 20. John 12, verse 20. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Can you hear me? Who cannot hear me clearly? It doesn't sound clear to me on stage. It's not clear. It's muffled. So, try to brighten the sound. All right? Reduce the bass, please. Now, Hello? Hello? You see, you people, somebody is sacrificing. You are sitting here enjoying the sound. Somebody has to sacrifice. That's the whole point. Before a whole lot of people enjoy, somebody sacrifices. Yes, somebody has to come around and check the sound. And so the sound that you are hearing that is not good is somebody hasn't done something. Somebody hasn't sacrificed. That's how the ministry, if for us to have this church, somebody has to sacrifice his life and say, okay, I'll be a pastor. I'll be a pastor. There's this opportunity, that opportunity, but I'm going to leave it and I'll give myself to be here. That's what it means. So the body of Christ is made up of sacrificers and enjoyers. Ask your neighbor, are you an enjoyer or a sacrificer? Or sacrifices and enjoys. Amen. So, it's very important that we realize that there is a need for people to make sacrifices. Now, in verse 20, the Bible says there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to... Let's change the version. Let's change it to Americano. Change the version. Philip came and told Andrew. No, verse 21, please. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." All right. Now, one day there was a church. Whenever I read this verse, I remember that story. So I'm just going to tell, but it's not part of the preaching. Yes. So you can go to sleep. After the story, you'll come back. Do you want the story or not? All right. I'll tell you the story. Now, these speakers are in the way. I don't know who put them there. One, two. Today is your last day. This speaker, you are gone. After today, you are finished. Yes, you'll be sacrificed so that those people can enjoy. Now, it says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." One day, there was a pastor who was preaching. I don't know what topic he was preaching. But there was a board of elders. And the board of elders were not so happy with the pastor and his general, his preaching and his topics and I don't know what. So one of the elders took a piece of paper and wrote a message. And when the pastor came into the pulpit, they brought the sheet of paper and put it in front of the Bible. They just put it and walked away. Do you want to know what was written on the paper? How many want to know what was written on the paper? Yes. What was written on the paper is this verse 21, the last part. It says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Yeah, to the pastor. It's like, we want to see Jesus. Yes. All the messages and things, we don't know what you are saying. It's Jesus we want to see. So it is the pastor himself who was preaching, and he was saying that this is the message that they came to put. And he became confused. When he saw, he said, we want Jesus. He became confused, and he didn't know what to say. Yeah, I think he was backsliding, so he came back to life. Anyway, let's continue with the preaching. Is it a nice story? Tell your neighbor, we wish to see Jesus in the house, yes, we wish to see Jesus in the house, at home, everywhere, in everything. We want to see Jesus. Amen. So Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. It's like connections. And then Jesus, back to Americano. And Jesus answered and said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Brothers and sisters, the hour has come for you to be glorified. And then he said in verse 24, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone." Everybody say, alone. "But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Clap for Jesus and Jesus' words. Amen. So, the hour has come. Huh? For the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, one day, can I tell you another story? Yeah. A group of pastors went to a Chinese restaurant to eat. Yes. And then they brought different kinds of food. Chicken, lobster, meat. I mean, different kinds of things. Rice, noodles, soups. And the whole table was full of food. And one of the pastors got up and said something. Do you want to know what the pastor said? Are you sure you want to know what the... It's a true story. This is what he said. This verse. Put the verse there. He said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I won't tell you who said it. When Jesus said the hour has come for the Son of Man to glorify, it's not to eat Chinese food. It was an opportunity to suffer and to die. Amen. Anyway, so many of us, we lack fruit. How many want to be fruitful? I met some Red Bacenta leaders. Do you know what a Red Bacenta is? Okay, some of you know, some of you don't know. I met some Red Bacenta leaders. And some of them said, they said, we are fruitless. We don't have fruit. Some of you are fellowship leaders. No, you don't have members. You don't have people that you could have had. And the church is not as it should have been or could have been. And the problem is not a lack of knowledge. Knowledge, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1 that knowledge puffs up. It's not about knowledge. Knowledge is not what is missing in the church. We have a lot of knowledge. We've never had as much knowledge as we have now. We have books. Many books. Every topic has been written about. The Bible has been explained in our English and in other languages. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs. Knowledge puffs up. But charity edifies. So having a lot of knowledge has rather made us proud. It has made us puffed up, but not fruitful. When you have that is why people who have knowledge but no fruit speak in a particular way. That's the difference between tares and fruit. Jesus said, leave the tares. With time, you see the difference. The difference between tares and wheat. Tares are like weeds. Useless plants that don't have fruit. All right? Useless plants is that the tares stand up straight like this and the wheat is full of fruit so it bends over. So the tares are full of pride. So when a person is proud, he talks in a certain arrogant way. Very strong. Full of himself. Says big, big things. I'll resist you. Oppose you. But wheat has fruits, so it bends over. Show us a picture of tares and wheat in a real picture. I think the guys here, you are not as fast as the flow. People are very good. When is the other day, anything I say, they are able to show a picture of it. You see, we need sacrifices to sacrifice and come and work. But most of us want to be enjoyers or enjoyees. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, when you have knowledge, it doesn't mean you are fruitful. It doesn't make you fruitful. All right? Now, let's see the tares and the wheat. Look at the left picture, the picture on the left. What do you see? Can you see the curved wheat? It's bowed over. It can't stand straight up because of the wheat. So it bends. So fruitful people are usually humble. When you say something, whatever, you realize that they are just cool. Yeah. But people who are fruitless, on this side, you see the tears. They stand tall. They will be talking. Dada, what are you? You are this. You are that. Hey. A lot of words. But when you become fruitful, you just cool down. Because you got heavy burdens. I have so many issues. And so many things. All the problems I have in my life are related to the fruits that I'm bearing. It's related to the work that I'm doing. And I'm bearing fruit for Jesus. So, talking plenty is not the issue. Knowledge puffs up. So now Jesus said, the hour is come. And the hour has come for many of us. That hour that has come is the hour to bear fruit. Now, you see, people wanted to see Jesus. And he said, look, all these people who want to see me, this one wants to see you, this one wants to see you, this one wants to see you, that is not what is needed now. That, you see, that's why we started from verse 20. Start from verse 20. Start from verse 20. What does it say? Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship. Verse 21. And they came to see Philip, who was a man they knew from Bethsaida of Galilee. And said, sir, we wish to see Jesus. I told you that story. Verse 22. And Philip came and told Andrew. And Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. Like a connection type of, I don't know whether they were afraid to talk to him. Do you see? So they came together that, oh, these guys have come from Greece. And this is Jesus' answer to people who wanted to see him. This was what he said in response to that. Chale, people want to see you. A lot of people are. He said, look, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Like, it's now time for sacrifice, not about talking plenty and meeting people. But the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verse 24. Then he explained. He said, truly, truly, I say unto you, change the version to King James. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, do you see? It abideth alone. You'll be all alone. You'll be talking plenty, but you are all alone. But if you fall into the ground and then die, then you will bring forth a lot of fruits. So the emptiness of our baskets is because of the failure of us to bear, to sacrifice as we ought to. If you take, let's say, the dancing stars, dancing stars are a famous dancing group who are being copied and mimicked all over the world. Yes, it's nice that you are shouting, but you should listen to what I'm saying. All right? Now, today the dancing stars are not as fantabulous as they used to be. They dance, but it doesn't take us in the same way. Now, what is the difference? Fruits are always connected to sacrifice. Some years ago, many of them were younger. See, although you are young, there's younger than young. They used to have all nights on Fridays, practice all night, and all day on Saturday up to 10 o'clock, and then they come Sunday morning. Yeah. But these days, some of them have given birth to children. Some of them have bigger bottoms than they had before. They cannot leave their husbands. They cannot leave their children. And they cannot make that sacrifice that they used to make that made the dancing stars an amazing international world-class dancing troupe, known all over the world for their dances and their music. Yes. That's the difference. That's why I said you should wait before you shout. Every group is like that. Preaching is like that. Anything that is fruitful has a sacrifice behind it. Has somebody who falls into the ground and dies. Well, what is the meaning of death? Death is darkness. You go into dark. The seed falls into the ground. It goes into darkness. It suffers the heat and the light. You see, you don't germinate until you have certain conditions of heat and light and water. That is why seed is planted at a particular time. And it's put into the ground. If you keep the seed in your kitchen, it's not going to germinate. It needs to go in. And it needs to experience some of the darkness. Some of the troubles. Huh? Some of the troubles. Singing stars. Should I also use you as an example? As I've used the dancing stars. Should I also use you as an example? Oh, yes. Can you hear me over there? All right. You need to fall into the ground and undergo disintegration where you are broken. You see, some of the things we are experiencing, they break us. They break our hearts. They break down our lives, things that are not what we expect and how we expect them to be. It humbles us. And as you are humbled by the darkness of isolation, because when you come to work and sacrifice for God, you find out that you are quite alone. Not many people will sacrifice. Not many people will be good basenta leaders. Not many people will give up and go into the ground. Well, we have 55 people that graduated 1989, 10th of March. I don't know how many of us graduated, but my class was 55. 55 people. 10th March 1989, I became a doctor. Yeah, and we were 55. Of course, some people were fail, repeated, all those things. But in the end, all the 55 of the class went out. When I was staying behind, that, oh, everybody was, I'm going to South Africa, I'm going to England, I'm going to specialize here, I'm going to, I found myself all alone. I can't remember any of my mates saying that it's going to stay with me in Kolebu to pastor this church of a classroom. A church of a classroom with some students. Do you see? Ebenezer Secondary School students. Because it was the nearest secondary school to our church, which was at Kolebu School of Hygiene. So the people, the members we had was Ebenezer Secondary School. Do you know Ebenezer Secondary School? Yes, it's a school. And then Kolegono people that walk around where they sell whatever, the people on the roadside that you can reach, Area 1 people, you can reach them and preach to them. Do you see? Those people, we call it Area 1, some of those people. And then Ebenezer Secondary School was also inside our Area 1. That's all. When you come to church, about 25 people, 25 to 30 people. And I say that I believe God has called me. I believe God wants me to serve the Lord. How many people do you think are prepared to follow me on such a crazy idea? Eh? So I found myself alone. When you are sacrificing, you are going to find yourself all alone. All alone in the darkness. When your seed goes into the ground, when you look to the right, to the left, it's only darkness. And then you have heat. Maybe you don't know that it is up. The place we have not been able to explore is inside the earth. I hope you know that. We know nobody can go down. Nobody can go down. As you go down, the heat that is down there, you can't imagine. When you go into the ground, it's going to be heat. And the heat represents the fires and the heat of ministry. Fires that come to you from Orangus. As soon as I said I was a pastor, come and see. They said, you are not called. I mean, that was the first thing, you are not called. The first thing was that I said I was called. The first thing is, you are not called. Nursing students had decided my calling. Medical students decided I was not called. They ganged up and they had meetings to discuss and analyze me, my errors. Meanwhile, they were all about to leave. They were all about to leave and go abroad. And they would face me and insult me and accuse me. And then they took off to America and to England and left me all alone. As I said, I'm staying here with a few people from Ebenezer Secondary School and Manprobi Kolegono in 1990. Huh? So sacrifice is, don't look for the, who is also a bacenta leader, who is also a chorister, who comes early, who comes late. No. When people are backsliding, they will call you and say, Charlie, I'm not going, will you go? Charlie, I'm not going, will you go? It's to tell you that initially that some people are not going, will you join us? We are all not going. The difference in fruitfulness comes down to the price you are prepared to pay. Sacrifice, not knowledge. Knowledge rather has the opposite effect. The more you know, the prouder you become, and the more arrogant you become, and then you become a tear. Look at the picture of the tears, and then you stand up straight. I said, I'm here to correct you. I saw somebody on a video. He said his ministry is to correct Bishop Oyedepo. That is his ministry. His ministry is his call to correct him. That's his calling. I said, wow. Fantastic. So, brothers and sisters, sacrifice is what God is calling you to do. God wants you to sacrifice for Him. Amen. Amen. Give up something for Jesus. That's when you're going to see fruits and beauty and glory. Every nice thing that we enjoy in the church, somebody has paid a price. Somebody has suffered. Later, Peter was standing up and saying, "Men and brethren," you know, Acts 2, he was preaching very powerfully. Very powerfully. But you see, yeah, he was quoting a whole lot of scriptures that he knew. Peter knew scriptures. But when Jesus was being beaten, when they caught him and took him to the high priest's house, Caiaphas' house, it was very cold. That cold weather even tells you the time of the year that Jesus was sacrificed. Well, cold enough for them to need to light a fire. And as Peter was outside warming, the Bible says he was warming his hands and his feet. Jesus wasn't having any fire or warmth. He was being beaten. The Bible says, and when she saw Peter warming himself. So many Christians are warming themselves as others are being beaten for the same purpose and on the same day. Yes. You are warming yourself while Jesus is being beaten. Read on. And a woman, a lady came to her and said, thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Chale. But he denied, said, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. I don't know what you are saying. And I don't even understand the words you are saying. I don't understand the English you are speaking. He was warming his hands. So as we are here, you know, church for me and for many of us, it is work. But for others, they are just warming their hands. They are just here to just get a bit of warmth and a bit of goozy, goozy, oozy feeling. Ask your neighbor, are you here for an oozy goozy feeling? To warm yourself up? Meet some nice, beautiful girls? Because the boys are good, the girls are beautiful forevermore. In First Love Church, the boys are good and the girls are beautiful. Shout forevermore. Yes. So you are here for an oozy goozy feeling? No way. There is a lot for us to do. How many are going to join the army of sacrifices? People who pay the price. People who say it's time. It's time. The hour has come. The hour has come for sacrifice. Too much talking. Too much talking. Too much. I mean, no, we are talking about sacrifice. Paying the price. Oh, yes. I need Alto to come on stage. And I need Reggie to come on stage. Where's Reggie? Yeah, give me a microphone. Yeah, come this way. Which year was it when I met you? Now, this speaker, this is the last day. Brother, the speaker, we have cut it into two after today. He cannot stay here. Which year was it when I saw you in Paris?
2017. September.
Yes. September. Look at this. Oh, not a small boy. It's not a small boy. It's a small boy danger. And what did I tell you in Paris? Yes. Tell the people.
It was in Paris where you were having a Give Yourself Holy conference.
Yes.
And then it was during the break, Bishop Richard called me to go upstairs in the
office. To come and see me.
To come and see you.
And I spoke to you.
You spoke to me.
What did I talk to you about? No, not those other parts. I mean the other part about the ministry.
Which other part?
About going on a mission.
When I arrived, I asked Daddy, I want to go on mission. Then Daddy asked me where. I was like, in Guadeloupe. He's like, oh, where is Guadeloupe? I think Bishop Prince was there. And we opened the map and we're looking where Guadeloupe is. And then you said that I should go and God will be with me. And you pray for me. And then you said that I'll come to Guadeloupe for a camp.
I told you I was coming. You see, and I'm on my way to Guadeloupe now. And what about you?
Yes, Daddy. We met at the Give Thyself Holy Conference in Paris in 2015. ISI 2015.
Where were you living before?
In London.
In London? Wow. And you were living where?
I was living in Milton Keynes, working at Volkswagen.
Volkswagen?
Yeah, the headquarters.
Ask your neighbor, have you worked at Volkswagen before? Yes, tell us.
So,
listen.
So I was assisting Bidros in Brussels. So we came for the ISI 2015, and we had a upper room meeting. Yes, Bidros took me. So at the upper room meeting, everyone was talking, but then you looked at me with very piercing eyes.
With what?
Piercing eyes.
Piercing eyes. They are called eagle eyes of the prophet. Yes?
So as you looked at me, you pointed at me and you said, Reg, I need you in the Caribbean. You said some other things about the Brussels mission, and then I felt so provoked that this must be God. I remember Bidros was looking at me like, Reg, what are you about to say? And I said, Daddy, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. So,
and you went.
And I went.
Oh, yes. These, my small boys, they are just about to become bishops. Yes. Yes. Beautiful. They have been on the islands. If you know what the islands are. Yeah. The time, you see, on that day, it was the hour has come. It's like talking plenty. You see, you have a lot of Londoners, they'll be saying this. Bishop, you know, I really love the Lord. You know, I want to go. I want to mention, I want to serve the Lord. You know, what man, you know, so. Hey.
Daddy. Hello.
Uh-huh.
Ashley, Daddy, I remember that same year. I came for MOTL. And you were preaching everything by prayer. And I remember during the camp, you were talking about no hot air. It's like, if you want to go, just go. On. No hot air. So that line, no hot air, will just...
No hot air.
If you want now, to go, just go.
Palais Francais, you see, he speaks French. They speak French on that island. They don't speak English. H is silent in French. Hot air. But it's not that it's hot air. But it's French. In French, you don't say... Ha, you don't say ha. French and gang, we don't say the H.
And then, I think that line...
Listen, yes.
I think that line actually got into me. And then I remember at that camp, I took my phone, I sent a text to Bishop Richard. I said, Bishop, I'm going on a mission. Yeah. I'm going in October.
I'm going on mission to serve the Lord. This young man, God rescued him. You can't even imagine where his life was. And God just picked him out. Instead of talking plenty, sacrifice. The hour is come. Eh? No hot air. Yes. We don't need Basenta leaders who are red Basenta leaders. We need only green. Yes. No hot air. The choir. Our choir is a 1,000 member choir. 1,000 member choir. Yes. 1,000 member choir. We are supposed to have by now about 1,200 to 1,500 members. It's 1,000. Years ago, we said it's 1,000 member choir. Nothing less than 1,000 with the choir. Years ago. But I think you are just about 700 or so. How does it help? Reggie, do you have something to say to the people?
If God has called you onto the mission field, I think you need to respond with immediate effect. And I believe that if you have the...
Why are they catching this man? Lift him up, lift him up.
Yeah.
People think that he is called, so they are lifting him up to the uh-huh. call. They are carrying him for the call.
Oh, yes.
Hey! This is serious.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This one. If God has called you.
If God has called you, my brother, I feel you must go.
Wow. Amen. Whilst you are warming yourself, somebody is suffering. We need people who work before a church is nice. So many people have to work. Toilets, crowd control. So when you are coming, you see people outside. Plenty. Confusion. Yes. We need, who is going to do it? People are warming themselves. You come to church and you see, you must get into the life of sacrifice. Thank you, gentlemen. Clap for these young men. Now, I want to show you something that happens when you sacrifice. You see, Moses took the children of Israel. Shh, please, please, please. Exodus 14, verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel. Exodus 14, verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel. Amen. And what should they do? That they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall you camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land and the wilderness has shut them in. Now, I hope you know that Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Do you know what is a type? A type means that he represents in the realm of the spirit Satan. Because Moses represents the Savior. A man who came to save the children of Israel who were in bondage. Were you in bondage? I can hear you. Were you in bondage? Were you in sin? Were you in difficulty? Did you have problems? And then God sent Moses to the children of Israel. And God sent Jesus. Now when Jesus came the first time, when Moses came the first time, the people rejected him. Just like when Jesus came, he said he came to his own, but his own received him not. So when Moses came the first time, the man said, who made you ruler over us? Because Moses was talking to the people that, look, they shouldn't fight each other. He said, who made you the ruler of us? He was rejected and he came back again with signs and wonders. So Jesus will come again. Now, as the children of Israel were going, he was leading them to a promised land. And the wilderness is a place of difficulty and test. It says in Deuteronomy 8, you shall remember all the way the Lord thy God took thee these 40 years to teach thee, to humble thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest serve the Lord or no. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. So it's like God took you through the promised land, and this life we are living is the wilderness that we are having so many tests and so many problems. You shall remember all the way which the Lord God took you these 40 years. So your life on earth, a generation of 40 years of life, it represents one life. To humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Now, wait. As you are trying to go through, Satan is chasing every believer. Charlie, trying to take people back. How many have realized that a couple of attempts have been made on your life to take you back to the world and to take you back to the devil? And trying to take you up and attack the weaknesses from the back. Because we all have weaknesses. That's why God didn't like the Amalekites at all. Because they attacked the children and the weak ones at the back when they were trying to escape. So Pharaoh represents Satan, who said, I will never let you go. He said, let my people go. He said, I will never let you go. I said, let my people go. Let my people go. They want to be believers. They want to serve. Satan said, Pharaoh said, I will never let the people go. And God will send Moses and say, let my people go. Let my people go. They want to serve me. And Pharaoh said, no, 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 no. Every time, no. Until the Bible says Pharaoh would hardly let us go. But then they were able to go. Then as they were going, Pharaoh took a decision. He said, I will not lose these people. You see, many of you, Satan has taken a decision that he will not lose you. No, that's serious. So Pharaoh took chariots. Armored cars. And chased the Israelites. It's like Pharaoh is what he represents, stubbornness. That's why you must all be careful of stubbornness. Don't be too hard. God said, I will harden his heart. I will play my last kalo. God told Moses, I will play my last card, which is the blood. The blood is my last card. And after this, they will let you go. And he didn't let them go empty. They took gold, they borrowed, they went to all the neighbors and said, please lend us gold. We are going to worship the Lord. We'll bring it back. So they all left. Can you imagine 2 million people? You people alone, you know how difficult it is to control you. The church went outside, inside, toilet at the back, complex. Can you imagine 2 million people moving with their families? Pray for tour guides. When you go for a tour and there's more than 60 people, it's very, very complex. You finish giving the explanation. When we go to Israel, you see people are coming. They are now coming later. After you finish explaining, they say, what happened here? What happened here? We don't know what happened. So, this is where Jesus was crucified. And then people have already gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then they also come slowly. Like this, different timings. Can you imagine 2 million people? And Pharaoh said, I want you to find that scripture and I will harden his heart. Yes, I will harden, I will be honored and upon all the hosts that the Egyptians may know. I will harden his heart. But he said, the Bible says that Pharaoh would hardly let the people go. How many want to get rid of this Pharaoh forever? Do you want to know the master key to getting rid of Pharaoh? Today I'm going to show you how to get Pharaoh off your back. Hey, I don't know whether you are ready to get Pharaoh away from your life. Pharaoh is chasing you with armored cars and he's chasing you with, machine guns and other things. Meanwhile, you don't have any weapons. Hey! Today I'm going to show you the end of Pharaoh in your life. The end of Satan. The end of harassment. The end. So they got to the water in Exodus chapter 14, verse 2. And said, I will harden Pharaoh so that he will follow after them. Now, when they were standing by the water, you see, going through the Red Sea was baptism. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. I don't want you to be ignorant, my brethren, how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all what? And were all what? Baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, what is baptism? Baptism is in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. It says, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. When you are baptized, it symbolizes that you are joined him in death. So baptism speaks of death. Because you are drowning. This one there, you are drowning. You know that you are finished. Yes. Are you there? Yes. Therefore, we are buried with him. Look at it. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. By baptism. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. So walking through the Red Sea, we read, is a baptism. Yes, you didn't know that. It's a baptism. So when they were standing and the water was going like this, and the water was going like this. And they said, come here. Some people look and say, somebody's got to be crazy, you know. Me, I can't swim. A lot of people say, me, I can't swim. All these, those who are saying we should go through, they are the ones who can swim. This guy, his father took him to a swimming pool. This guy, I know he used to go to this Tesano Sports Club. They are all swimmers. Me, I should go and walk through that. You lie bad. I'm not a fool. Wow. I'm afraid of water. I can't swim. I haven't done my hair. So many people, my hair will get spots. Various excuses. As they were all standing there, the water moved by. Moses and the water parted. Walked through the water. He caused the sea to go back and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. You see, you need faith. You need faith. You need faith to accept. This one there, I'm dead. This one there, I'm dead. I'm finished. But Satan is behind you chasing. How can you get rid of him? And they said, go through the water. Go through the water. Hey! You see, God has brought you to the Red Sea. And it's time for you to decide. Will you continue and be accept to be buried and accept to die and accept to suffer and accept to risk your existence at the Red Sea? And the Bible says, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. And they were coming behind. As they were going, they saw the people, the Israelites, were the Egyptians were coming with armored cars. That with bows and arrows, they were shooting. And then on the right was water high up. On the left was water high up. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And it came to pass. Dolama jamura basala barakata. That in the morning, watch. The Lord, it was probably an angel. The Lord looked unto the host through the pillar of fire and pillar of fire. So the Lord was with them. He was in the water with them. When you think you are going to die, not you see that he is right there with you. You think that it's over, but he's there with you. The Lord was there. And he looked at them through the pillar of cloud. And he troubled the host of Egyptians. Wow. Verse 26. And took off their chariots. No. And took off the chariot wheels. Sure. Now the chariot where they trusted in. Go. Charlie, where is the vulcanizer? Come and fix the tires. All the vulcanizers of Egyptian vulcanizers were called. Welders. And then to stabilize. Meanwhile, there was water on this side, water on this side. And then took off their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. I see the Lord fighting for you. I said, I see the Lord fighting for you. This is the real, the battle is the Lord's. Now the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thine hand over the seas, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots. It was a very dangerous thing to go into a waterfall like that. Yeah. And what happened? And Moses stretched out his hand. And the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it. Return, reverse. Everybody out. Turn, run. It's not easy to run. They were full of armor, arrows, swords to kill Israelites. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. So this is Satan is finishing. You see, when you take a step to sacrifice, that is the end of Satan. He is lost and he loses a certain power over your life. Yeah, that is the power of Satan against you that Satan loses when you pay the price and you make the sacrifice. Yeah, Satan lost a certain control over my life. The day I decided I'm going all out for ministry, even the power of poverty went out of my life. There are so many powers that have ended. Yeah. From the day that I said, this is it. I belong to Jesus. Up to today, I have no other person that I serve, only Jesus. I lost so many powers, were drowned. Powers were drowned. You see, a man is coming after you, and you are in love with him, and he calls you. Hi, baby. I love you, baby. Darling, this is... Tonight is a night we're going to be together till 5 a.m. Wow. And then your heart starts to roll because you remember so many nights you've been together. But now you heard the message on sacrifice. And you decide that I'm going to pay the price. Even if I live alone for the rest of my life. Even if I don't have any husband. Even if I don't get married. I'm just giving up. I'm going to give up this guy. Meanwhile, you know what the guy is loaded with HIV. The guy is loaded, but you don't know that he's loaded with HIV. And tonight is the great night that he's going to inject you with that HIV. So the day that you take, I will sacrifice this boy. I will sacrifice love. I will stay alone and lonely. It doesn't matter. God is with me. Holy Spirit will comfort me. And the boy is coming after you. His name is Samuel. He's coming after you. You see the phone call. You say, Sam. Sam, dear one. Sam, dear one. He's calling you. Because he has a number of phones, so he calls you Sam dear one, Sam darling two, Sam honey three. And when he calls, you say, it's over. Immediately the spirit of death, the spirit of HIV, the spirit of sickness, the spirit of premature death, the spirit of suffering, because a man who cannot leave you like that, you think he's going to be faithful to you? Oh, heartbreaks are coming. He can't do it. He doesn't know how to do it. To stay with one woman is supernatural. He doesn't have that power. He comes with a fully loaded seminal vesicles loaded with HIV virus. Taprata shapra patala bruka bazambara. I see powers that are following you, eh? They lose their power over you when you make the sacrifice. Yes. Yes. You gain an upper hand in life, in ministry. You become free. Things that are following you, harassing you, calling you, threatening you, your whole life is free. Yeah. You know, I don't even know the difference between vacation and working for Jesus. It has merged. But when I was working at Kolebu, I was counting the days. Here, 28 working days. I used to try to merge it with Christmas and so that it becomes longer. Pornography. Smoking kills 1/3 of all the smokers. 1 out of 1, 2, 3. Death loses its power. I'll sacrifice. It's over. Alcohol is over. This boy is over. How many boys? How many girls? How much, how long will it take for you to just pay the price and say, Jesus, I love you. Is there a song like that? Jesus, I need you. Across every mountain, I'll sacrifice just to have you, just to be close to you. So today, God is calling everyone, he's calling every percenter leader. Many of your struggles, all choristers, all church members, many of the hassles. Eh? I'm telling you, you are going to lose the harassment. Demonic harassment is ending in your life when you pay the price to serve the Lord. There's nothing like Christianity without paying a real price to follow Jesus. How many are ready to let the seed? The hour has come. The hour has come. The hour has come. You know what I suspect? I suspect some of the Israelites didn't go into the water. Yeah. Now, when you look at human beings, you see that some orangus would have said, no, Charlie, the guy has gone mad. We need to correct him. He's taking us too far. First, it was out of this. We almost died. We've almost died all these weeks. This is now an extreme. He's gone too far. How many will agree they would have said he's gone too far? This is too much. Yes. Pharaoh would hardly let us go. Stand to your feet, everybody. Lift your hands up and tell God, Lord, I'm ready to sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice for you. Jesus, I need you and I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
To give your life to Jesus, lift up your hand with me. You want to sacrifice the devil, all your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your friends, anything, and take Jesus. If you are here like that, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, I want to pray specially with you before I take my seat. If you want to give your life to Jesus, lift your hand like this, like how I've lifted my hand, and I want to pray specially with you. God bless you. God bless you. Jesus, I need you. Lift your hand. You need Jesus. Now, if you've lifted your hand, you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to come to me right here. I'm giving you just 1 minute to join me in the front here. Come with your hand lifted up. Come with your hand lifted up.
Jesus, I love you.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I feel you.
Jesus, I need you.
All of your glory, I can't get enough of you. Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I need you.
Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I feel you. And all of your glory.
Your life to Jesus. Pharaoh is drowning in the waters behind you. Lift your hand and let's all lift our hands together. Say with me this prayer. Jesus, I can't hear you. Say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Today, I sacrifice everything for Jesus Christ. Lift your hand and say, take my life. Lord, take my life. Take my life. And let it be a blessing from today. I give up everything so that I can follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me today. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. I love you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. From today, I am your servant and I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Now, all of you here, Satan is finished. Did you hear what I said? I said, Satan is finished in your life from today. Yes. All the things he wants to do to kill you, it's over. Amen. Look at our pastor. You see, she has lifted a flag. It says, follow me. Follow me. I want you to follow her right now. God bless you. Follow. And then come back. After you come back and join us through the other route, okay? Take your Holy Communion, the blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus, which is broken for us. Let power come into our lives as we partake of the body. The body of Jesus Christ. And Pharaoh perish in the Red Sea behind you. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands for your blessing. Lift your hands for your blessing everywhere, online also. Be blessed, even if you didn't have the communion. Just lift your hands. May the Lord bless you. When I say anything, shout amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord really bless you. May you be healed in Jesus' name. May you be delivered in Jesus' name. Every Pharaoh that is chasing you to harass you is drowned today in the Red Sea. In the name of Jesus, let me hear your loudest amen. Lift your hand. Say, I am free from satanic harassment, from demons that are pursuing me. I am delivered. I'm set free. I am blessed. In the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. I can't hear you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you again. The Lord remember you and bless you. The Lord remember you and bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Put your hand on your belly and say, I'm really blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.